Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
What do potholes cost consumers and the insurance industry? Well, we have an answer. Just hold on to your hats. $27 billion in the last 5 years. That's right, 27 with a B. I know, it made me astonished as well. Well, we're going to discuss this insurance cost with Sue Nestor and Mike McCartan, who are here representing the Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents. Sue is a spokesperson for the organization, and Mike is an independent agent and broker. So, $27 billion. Tell me it's not so.
It's so. We couldn't believe it either, frankly, Shirley. I'll tell you, this is our brand new research that we launched this spring as a result of so many phone calls and emails that we had come into our organization after the extremely harsh winter, obviously, that we had in so many areas of the country this year. This was a topic that we had looked at back in the late 1990s, and we found that our statistics were still sort of out there, now almost 20 years old. It was time to revisit this issue, and when we did, we could not believe what we found. 50% of car owners, according to our independent national survey, say that they had experienced pothole damage to their cars within the last 5 years at some point. And when you do the math through the survey that we did, that comes out to be costing consumers and the insurance industry, like you said, about $27 billion with a B. And in fact, we called the researchers back and said, that can't be right. Are you sure about the $27 billion? And yes, when walking through the math and doing all of that, it's astounding.
It is astounding.
Interestingly, I mean, you expect it to be a big problem here in this part of the country where we do have the harsh winters. And we did see that in the Midwest, the Northeast, that's where the numbers were the worst. But even in southern states and in the western regions of the country where the winters are milder, it was not that much different. It seems to be an issue for everybody. And, you know, you might conclude that it's because the municipalities just don't have the money to put into the roads and stuff like that.
Well, it is expensive to take care of potholes and to keep roads up to standards. And more cars every day are using our roads. So consequently, the wear and tear on them is just incredible.
It's true. And in the wear and tear on people's cars as a result of those poor road conditions, we found that about a third of the car owners that reported damage said they filed an insurance claim. So that means about two-thirds were handling those costs out of pocket. And that's when you looked at the numbers, it seemed that much of the damage was right around that $500 mark people reported. And that's right on the cusp there of whether, you know,
whether
you've
you
got
want
a
to
deductible,
do it
whether you want to do it yourself or whatever.
Right.
So it's costing consumers a lot of money out of their pockets.
Mike, what do you normally see in terms of people making claims about pothole insurance? I would imagine that this could severely damage the steering on your vehicle.
Well, I think kind of what we've, based on what the numbers bore out, it's mostly damage to tires and to the rim and to the tire and the wheel. And I think most of it falls right at or about your deductible. This is a collision claim, which mm-hmm. most people are upset about because typically you have a higher collision deductible. You might for windshields and things like that.
But it's probably, not a collision, so.
Well, you hit. Unfortunately, we're
you
saying you hit a hole. So
that's
an argument we have, and no one is happy about it. You do not get charged for an at-fault accident, but it is a collision, typically a higher deductible. And I think that the people that are the 31% of the 50% of people that reported a claim, those are the ones that do have serious damage.
Yes.
But it is covered. And I think those people probably experience, you know, undercarriage damage, suspension damage, and it's much more significant. They're the ones turning in the claim.
Well, you know, I suspect it could be even injury to the passenger. If you hit a big enough pothole and it causes enough damage, it could really your neck, your back. I would think you could get whiplash. I'm not encouraging people for this, but couldn't you get something like that from this kind of occurrence?
I'm sure at a high speed in a big enough hole, we have not seen that. We've certainly seen plenty of, minor to medium damage.
Mm-hmm.
But no one has at least reported to us or complained about significant injury yet.
Okay.
We did show in the survey that there were a significant number of people that reported damages, you know, $1,500, $2,000.
Wow.
And, you know, it can, if you get an alignment problem or you hit it at a high speed,
right,
that can, you know, cause significant
right.
damage, you know, and perhaps injury too. So.
And I gather you, local jurisdictions really say, well, that's too bad. We're not helping you with that.
Yeah, interestingly, that was one of the things we asked in our survey. Did local authorities step in to foot the bill for you? And in fact, in only about 3% of the cases, people had any luck with that strategy.
Is that right?
Yeah. That was what our numbers
well,
were.
Well, I guess
out.
It would break them up, wouldn't it? I mean, oh my God, they can't fix the potholes to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think what was surprising to me is that areas with milder weather even have a very significant problem.
We were surprised at that, too, that it was so widespread. But like I said, you know, it may be an issue not so much of weather, but an overall budgets for road maintenance and
now,
stuff like that.
Now, have you all shared this with local jurisdictions, governments, the areas you particularly have a tremendous number of potholes? Are they interested in hearing about it?
This research is brand new, and we're just putting it out there.
Okay.
So I would imagine that we will, you know, get some interest, and we can certainly, we're getting the word out to as many as we can that this is such a huge problem.
Right. Now, in terms of the consumer, Mike, is this likely to cause you to have a raise in your insurance rate? If it's under your collision insurance, is it going to show up as a negative on your insurance record?
Well, it doesn't show up as an at-fault accident, but it can affect your rates in that what we've done, what the industry as a whole has done, is in a drive to be to offer the most competitive rates, we'll throw a lot of discounts up front or to people that have no claims in the mm-hmm. last X amount of years. So if you have had nothing in the last 3 to 5 years, you're getting the very best rate. You file a claim like this, and while they're not going to penalize you with a surcharge, you may lose a discount. So we can call that what you call it.
Yeah.
But so, yes, you can be penalized for it.
I suspect that's why so many people, if they're close to their deductible amount, they're not going to file a claim for $600 if their deductible is five.
And that's my job as an independent agent, is to let us run through the numbers. You call me up, you say, here's what I got. It's $600. I tell you what the deductibles are, and then we can run the math, and you can decide whether does it make sense to make a claim or pay an extra $20 or $30 for the next 3 years on your insurance.
Now, as a broker, an independent, that means you represent a variety of insurance companies, right?
Correct.
So you're dealing with a lot of policies there.
Yes.
So, okay. Going back to this, what are the things that you recommend? How do you, you know, if you swerve to miss a pothole, you could very well hit another vehicle.
And
that's a scary thing.
That's one of the things that we are, the part of the information that we're getting out here is sort of tips and what to do in these situations. And we say, keep an eye on traffic patterns. If you notice that people are swerving out of the way, slow down and watch out. And it's better to hit a pothole than another car and potentially injure somebody else.
So amen to that.
Don't swerve out of the way quickly at the last minute unless you can be sure.
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Sue Nestor, who is a spokesperson, and Mike McCartan, who is with the Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents. Sue is their media relations person, and Mike is an independent agent and broker. So, going back to potholes, I'm still stunned, $27 billion, good Lord.
It's an enormous number.
Now, would it be wise for a consumer when they hit a pothole to take a picture of it? I don't know what good that would do, but since I carry around my little trusty smartphone, I may as well use it.
And I think everybody does now, and we recommend that. We say treat this just like you would a collision with another car. Get mm-hmm. out of your car, take a picture of the scene, take a picture of the damage of your car, record everything you can, jot notes to yourself or stick them in your phone about the time and the place of the accident. It's better to have all of that information up front. And then that's going to help you decide whether or not, along with your independent agent, decide whether mm-hmm. or not you want to file a claim.
And then you should immediately contact your local jurisdiction to report it.
Yes.
Can you do that through the police? Do they have hotlines? Or
some
consumers, you don't want to spend an hour on the phone trying to report a pothole.
You don't. And some jurisdictions have pothole hotlines. Some, you know, you would call the Department of Transportation in that jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people find that those lines are responsive, that they do count on drivers to let them know where the big holes are. They can't be everywhere at once. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, always drive cautiously, you know, no matter what. And again, avoid that urge to swerve out of the way of a pothole, because hitting another car with other passengers
maybe a lot
is worse.
It's yes. a lot worse. And of course, you have to be very careful, too, if you're on a high-speed highway.
Sure.
As to where you get your car out of the way, and keeping in mind the accidents that happen from cars parked along the side of the road, it's very dangerous for the consumer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to add to that. We don't, I mean, the picture's nice if you can do it, but please don't put yourself
in harm's way.
True.
You know, if you can get to a spot where you can stop and inspect the car that is safe, mm-hmm. then that would be great.
Absolutely.
Because you might prevent, additional damage. But certainly you don't want to stop on a dark highway. It's better to
keep going.
It's better to ruin the wheel and do further damage if your safety is more important. So don't put yourself in harm's way.
It's good advice.
We'll believe you. If you tell us you hit a pothole, we believe you.
Yeah. Well, you can generally tell, I suspect.
Yes.
So it's mostly busted tires that are
that's
broken.
A big part of it. And then some undercarriage damage.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. $27 billion in 5 years. I am still astonished. Now, so you said that you all had done this report some 20 years ago.
Just about.
How did you compare this? Were you able to compare whether or not, I mean, taking dollars then and dollars now, is there any way you can compare as to what the ratio of incidents was or anything else?
Certainly higher this time. As you look at the overall numbers.
Cars are more expensive.
Cars are more expensive. The roads are in worse shape. It was a much bigger problem this time. We could not do an exact apples-to-apples comparison because the survey methodology has changed and updated and become so much better. And we've been able to mess around with the sample size more, you know, so it's not exactly. But we can say that certainly it was a much bigger problem this
now.
Time around,
yeah.
For sure.
And I think that does have a lot to do with maintenance of roads and whatnot.
So we've had more extreme weather in the last 5, 6, 7 years than we've had before in this country, too.
Yeah,
so
last winter was a real
contributing
doozer,
factor.
It?
Yep,
absolutely. Any other things that we need to know about potholes? Report it. Talk to your insurance agent. That way you can make your own decision. You're not going to put it, Mike, if someone calls you and says, I hit a pothole, and I don't think I'm going to make a claim, but I want your advice. You're not going to report that. I mean, that doesn't go on their record or anything else, right?
We'll make a note in our system, and we have the discussion. And that's the end of it. There's if you choose to go ahead and pay for it yourself, that's the end of the discussion.
There's no impact.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So people shouldn't feel concerned about calling you about.
We want you to call us. That's our job.
That's one of the reasons you have an independent agent.
That's my job. So I'm happy to hear from you.
I'll talk to you, Mike.
Excellent.
All right. Now, we're going to segue. I don't know how to do it, except just say, let's jump right into it. I want to talk about some other consumer issues with insurance. First off, a lot of kids are heading back to college. What do we need to tell them? What do we need to tell their parents? What kind of insurance do they need?
Well, depending on where they're going to live, and things are sort of starting to change a little bit. But if you live in a dorm and, you know, you're going to be there for the semester, come home and then go back the next semester, your homeowners extends coverage
To that dorm room.
And you have liability coverage and you have property coverage for all their belongings, which get to be more and more expensive with all the electronics. Mm-hmm. But a trend we are seeing is more and more schools have private housing that are treated as dorms but owned privately, and you sign a 12-month lease.
Oh.
And these the owners or the entities that control and run these buildings are requiring what we would call renter's insurance or tenant's coverage. So, you know, if you're in a dorm, you're probably okay. If you're in a what we would call a dorm, but it's a private building with a 12-month lease, you're probably going to be forced to buy coverage. So I wouldn't be surprised. We get a lot more calls about that now than we ever did.
So the owner, the landlord is going to require you to buy coverage.
Yes, whereas a college colleges don't do that.
So people, I guess the thing to be aware of is that if your kid does move off of what looks like a dormitory situation, but it isn't.
But like I'll take the University of Maryland, for example. There's two or three big high rises on Route 1 at the main entrance to the university. They're all privately owned, and you sign a 12-month lease. You have to be a student to live there. So, you know, the kids would tell you they're dorms.
They think it's a dorm. Exactly.
Right. Well, their parents will tell you otherwise because they're sending a check every month for 12 months.
Uh-huh.
So, and those buildings, and as do most, require the tenant to have coverage, their own policy.
And we would say that even if you're in off-campus housing that doesn't have anything to do with the university, that a renter's policy is really something that
it's
you want to think
inexpensive
about. It's
too,
very inexpensive. You can get a year worth of coverage for $250 or less.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, think about what that is a month, and it's nothing. And the amount of coverage that you get from a renter's policy is great. We say, particularly for a college student, it's worth it just for the liability protection alone. Mm-hmm. You think about a college kid's lifestyle. They're having a lot of parties. They're not careful.
And very portable equipment, electronic stuff,
sure,
that's expensive.
So, yeah, so you've got all of that covered, too, with your contents coverage, your actual property coverage. And then, you know, you've got the liability coverage, the pizza guy who slips on your front door, and you're covered if there's a problem there. So just for the liability coverage alone, it's worth it. But you get all that property coverage as well. And, you know,
like a lot of protection.
Electronics are expensive and kids are bringing more and more things with them when they go away to college. And it's just a good policy to have.
Mike, in terms of the homeowner's insurance covering your kid at the dorm, if it in fact is a dorm situation and that they don't have to sign a lease, they're just living there through the college. Do they need to have additional insurance on their electronic equipment or things like that? Or is that also covered in the homeowners?
Well, I would say generally no, but you should have a discussion with your mm-hmm. agent, because some different companies have different limits on certain, you know, like jewelry or electronics. Most of the companies, or all the companies I write with, we don't need to do anything different than what, you know, you have the same basic. Well, they extend a certain amount of coverage to the off premises location, and it's more than sufficient in, you know, 99% of the time.
I see.
So in that situation, you don't need to do anything differently.
And what about the car insurance? If your child takes a car to college, does that create a different set of issues?
Well, the big issue there is a lot of companies, in an effort to sort of save you some money, will offer an away at school discount when you don't take the car.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do decide to send the car to college, you just need to let them know, and they'll remove the discount. But the coverage, you don't need to make any adjustments to the coverage while they're away. It you know, the coverage goes with the car wherever they may be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, like Mike said, if they're going to leave the car at home and that car is not going to be driven for 9 months.
By the kid?
Anybody in the house. If it's the kid's car and the car is sitting home because freshmen aren't allowed to bring a car to campus or whatever, let your insurance agent know, because you may be able to get a break on your insurance for that year.
I think there's more opportunity to save some money when somebody doesn't take the car than having, if the car is going to go, you don't really have to do anything.
Right. So you can just
certainly
take it.
Call and ask. But I think most parents get tired of driving up and down the – as a parent that drives up and down the highway to two colleges right now, you get tired of going to get them. So, so before you know it, you're like, you're not having a car. And then before you know it, they got a car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Sue Nestor, who is a spokesperson for the Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of America, and Mike McCartan, who happens to be an independent insurance agent and broker. You have a brokerage, right? Is that proper term? That means you've got a bunch
fine.
Of agents.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, going back to the kid in the college, yes, I can see what you're saying. Second year, you stand at the door and wave to them as they drive away, right?
Absolutely.
Are there any differences in state laws depending on where your kid is going to college in terms of the car insurance?
Well, what comes to mind first is certain states require that you have proof of insurance in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland does not.
Okay.
Like Maryland, I mean, you have to have coverage, but you don't have to have a card in the car to prove it. There are some states that'll they'll give you a ticket, lock you up. I mean, so, you know, take proof with you, find out what the law is in that particular state.
Right.
I think most people, there are minimum limits of coverage that are required, but I don't really think that's an issue
that's
with most people.
Deal.
No,
yeah.
I think most people have enough coverage. It's just more having proof that, so there is an incident, somebody seems, you know, they start thinking, well, it's just a kid, and that you pull that out and it just helps us, makes a bad situation better.
I think that question sort of gets to a larger question, which is, when you're sending a kid off to college, you have to think about insurance. Most people don't. You've got so many other things to think about at that time, and it's stressful and busy for everybody. But a call to your agent on all of these things, the question about the state laws with the car or the renter's insurance, or even like, my kid is going to be traveling abroad. Do we have health insurance, territorial restrictions that I need to get into?
Good question.
Think about insurance and place that call to your agent, and you can ask all of those questions and try to get some of those things taken care of up front before you're confronted with a problem later on.
You know, that's a really interesting question because many kids do a semester abroad or do weeks of study abroad, and that does raise up a whole raise a whole big lot of issues and concerns.
Absolutely. And of course, it depends where you go and what kind of a program that you're going with. But some health insurers do have territorial restrictions, or you may want to find out if they're, if your student's going to someplace that's kind of remote. Mm-hmm. What does your insurance policy cover in terms of medical evacuation you know, emergency services or anything like that? And all of these questions are good to get answers to at the beginning.
So make yourself a list.
Make yourself
a list maker.
There you go.
Because I forget the first question after I've gotten to the third one unless I've written it down.
Right.
It's a self-protection thing there. All right. Now, you had also mentioned, I know that people, and one of the things we talk about is how people can save money on insurance without making, stupid mistakes. What are some of the mistakes that you all see them making? Mike, what do you see? Some of the most serious things.
Well, I would say the biggest thing we see is people don't put all their insurance with one company and take advantage of all
the discounts.
The discounts.
Well, we did that, and I will tell you, we saved a lot of money.
It works.
I would tell you the number one thing is to put all your insurance with one place. We're in a period now where homeowners' rates are on the rise. Insurance companies aren't, you know, the losses with the weather and other things are headed up, so that they frown on monoline, what we would call just writing individual home policies. So in an effort to push you, they offer pretty significant discounts on both the home and the auto. That would be probably the biggest thing. And then not having a discussion to make sure you have sufficient limits of liability coverage, whether it be on your home or your auto, to make that jump from the level you might be have coverage for to the next level is usually a pretty insignificant number.
Of money, you mean?
Of money, yes.
In terms of what you're going
to
have to pay.
Yeah, to double your liability limit would not double your premium and probably might only add 10 or 15% to the price.
It's amazing, right?
Yes, you think, well, you're going to double my coverage. I don't even want to know what the – and that's just doesn't – we're more likely to pay on the front end, in the lower dollar limit than the back end, so there's just not a relationship between
Well, we found that was true. We were able to get greater coverage than we'd had.
Correct.
For less price.
Absolutely.
By putting it all together.
They put it all together, took advantage of all the discounts, and were able to have a little bit more coverage.
Yeah, we were really astonished on it. Okay, Sue, where can people find information on your study on potholes?
You can go to independentagent.com under press releases, and there's a whole list, and it gets more in much more detail about our survey. Also, trustedchoice.com is a great place to go, not only to find an independent agent, but lots of frequently asked basic insurance questions are on there. And also even the Trusted Choice Facebook page, where there's all sorts of little tips and fun information on there. And right now for the month of August, if you go to the Trusted Choice Facebook page and share something off that page, a donation goes to Make-A-Wish.
Oh, that's
lovely. So there's
lovely.
A plus, too. So there's three good places to go for good information on all of these topics.
Okay. I think that is absolutely astonishing, and I'm still stunned at what potholes cost us. Well, thank you both, Mike McCartan, Sue Nestor, for being with us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And if you want to email me, you can contact me at Shirley@callforaction.org. That's Shirley@callforaction.org. And we do thank you for joining us. Hope you learned a little bit about insurance. And just go to say, avoid potholes. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.